behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to tonight. It happened to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But, we were hoping this evening to have William Federer with us. Apparently things were all confirmed, and now suddenly we don't have William Federer. So in the meantime, we're going to have open lines. And if you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I'd like to get your thought on what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in the Near East. Middle East, of course, would be Iraq and Afghanistan. Near East would be the battle waging today between Israel and Lebanon. Do you think that the Israelis were justified in attacking Lebanon? As you think that the Hezbollah were justified in attacking Israel? And, of course, what are the implications of what is happening? Because as we listen to what our leaders are saying, certainly Condoleezza Rice is not calling for a ceasefire. She said that we don't want a ceasefire until Hezbollah has been effectively disarmed and we can put a stop to the attacks on Israel. But the question is Israel really going to be able to disarm Hezbollah, especially when they are being reinforced through Syria and through Lebanon? And the problem is, as we look and see what's going on there, and we want to really be realistic about it, we are involved in a war between the United States and Iran. We're using surrogates to fight the war, Israel being the United States surrogate, Hezbollah, and to an extent Hamas being the Iranian surrogates. But the United States, for some years now, has been trying to destabilize the government in Iran, which the United States installed there in 1979, because everybody's forgotten that it was the Central Intelligence Agency that toppled the Shah of Iran in 1979 and brought the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. And then immediately Khomeini begins organizing Hezbollah, and within a couple of years, why, they're blowing up the American embassy in Beirut in 1983, and then they blew up the Marine barracks in Beirut in 1983, and they killed 241 Marines. And the most amazing part of this story is really told in a book we carry called See No Evil by Robert Baer. And for those of you who have not yet seen the movie George Clooney, Syriana, why, we recommend it to you, because the book is actually based upon the book See No Evil by Robert Baer, and George Clooney put on 30 pounds so that he could, I thought he looked awfully fat and chubby, but he said he put on 30 pounds in 30 days so he could play the part of Robert Byrd. Well, anyway, in this book, why, Robert Byrd tells you, one of the things that really drove him was to find out what really happened in 1983. Who was responsible for blowing up the barracks? And what he found was that the United States government had been informed ahead of time that the Hezbollah was going to blow up both the embassy and the Marine barracks, and didn't warn anybody in the embassy, and didn't warn anybody in the Marine barracks, and allowed it to happen, and then never took any action against Hezbollah. Now, why did that happen? Well, there are a lot of things going on that we really don't understand. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're hoping we're going to be able to get our special guest tonight, but if we don't, it's open lines, and you're going to have to call me, or it's going to be a long, long evening here in Santa Cruz. Not a long, hot evening, because, fortunately, it's beginning to cool off, but it's going to be a long evening here in Santa Cruz, and so we do hope you'll give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I was simply pointing out that a lot of things just don't make sense. the United States people in our intelligence agencies, obviously, the elite that runs this country knew the attack was coming on the embassy, knew the attack was coming on the Marine barracks, did not warn the Marines, did not allow them to have special preparations for a coming attack, and then, of course, after the attack had occurred, did nothing to counter the radical group, which was really responsible for that. Of course, it wasn't Hezbollah, it was the people who organized them and were financing them, who were the Iranians. So, so many things really don't make sense unless perhaps there is a master plan, unless there is a schedule that is being enacted and played out today. And those of you who listened to our program last night with Constance Cumby, she talked about a book that was written in 1981 called The Armageddon Script. And I haven't read it, but I've got my order in for one. I'll have it. It's going to cost me $50, but I'm going to have the book. I want to read it because it laid out the plan for this major confrontation that we're going to be seeing played out here in the very near future. Well, right now we've got Jim calling from Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing fine, except I don't have a guest, so I appreciate your call. Do you have a question?
Well, you've had an embarrassment of riches when it comes to open phone this week, through no fault of your own.
Well, I figure that if God wants the guest here, he'll be here, and if he is not, why, he'll tell me what to say, so go ahead.
You may not know the answer to this question. I'd hoped to have a chance to call Alex Jones when he was on your show. But I know some of the folks, like the fine Hollywood liberal folks, are all willing to jump right on board with the September 11th conspiracy theories. But I was wondering if you'd heard how any of them felt about, for example, Oklahoma City.
I really don't know. I haven't heard one way or the other. But the Hollywood liberals are people that got both feet firmly planted in the clouds on many issues, and yet on some issues they're concerned. They're really concerned, I think, about individual concepts of freedom. But as with so many liberals, they always believe the solution to, excessive power is to take the power away from the bad guys and give it to good guys like the ones they support, like John Kennedy. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Jim calling from Missouri. And Jim was asking if I had any idea how the Hollywood liberals feel about what happened in Oklahoma City. He pointed out that many of them seem to be on the right side as far as what happened on 9/11. He doesn't know how they feel about Oklahoma City, and I don't either, really. I think that there are a lot of Hollywood liberals who are just plain mixed up. Like so many people, they've never really been educated as to really what's going on. And the fact that we have a one-party system, that there are spiritual forces working behind the scenes, that the problem with the Hollywood crowd is that so many of them really have an intense hatred of Christianity. And many of them, of course, have gone over to the dark side, the occult side, and I don't know if you've seen the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, which covers the music industry. But Joe Schimmel, who put out this series of videos, has put out another wonderful video. It's called The Da Vinci Con. And it really goes into Hollywood, and he has some of the most amazing footage of Hollywood movies. Whether it be V for Vendetta or the Truman Show, and he has a slant on this. I will have to admit, I was just amazed. I sat for 3 hours entranced as Joe Schimmel explained the philosophy of Hollywood, and he did a magnificent job. And really, there's a tremendous satanic influence in Hollywood, and a violently anti-Christian.
I certainly would agree with that. I've read some of that column, some of the columns of the man that you had on your show a few months ago. He's the Christian movie critic, Ted Baer.
Yes, Ted's a good personal friend.
And he doesn't pull any punches in his. I know when he was on the radio, he seemed a little more frank than in his columns.
Well, of course, he knows where I'm coming from. And, Ted's a personal friend. In fact, we've shared rooms, going to expensive conferences. Neither one of us have a lot of money, so we'll share a room and have a good time just talking. But he's doing a wonderful job. I think he's having an impact down there in Hollywood. There is a growing number of Christians, and so you see this very stark contrast between people who are really dedicated to our Lord, and then, of course, the satanic forces is working there. to undermine intentionally Christianity. And we'll have, incidentally, we'll have Joe Schimmel on, Pastor Joe Schimmel, who would put together the rock and roll sorcerers of the New Age, and they sold their souls for rock and roll. He'll be our guest, I think, twice next week. So that'll be a real guest.
Do you ever watch the book TV shows on C-SPAN 2 on the weekends?
I don't have time to watch anything, Jim.
They had a gentleman on there last week. It's going to be on again this week. It'll be... It won't be on until, well, in my time, it'll be about midnight, so I won't get to see it this week. I might have to tape it. But it was kind of sad how he gave four steps that show the decline of America. And one of the steps that he talked about was the dumbing down, like Charlotte Isserby has talked about on your show.
Right, uh-huh. And that's absolutely true.
According to this gentleman... And I'll just say approximately half of all of the graduate students in America could be classified as semi-literate.
I think that's probably true. But, you know, the really frightening thing is, Jim, that their minds have been damaged. They've been damaged by fluoride. We know it'll take off 10 points off the IQ. They've done these studies over in China. And the thing is that, you know, as I don't know if you heard my interview with Dr. Russell Blaylock this afternoon, but in the areas of China where they have high levels of fluoride, I mean, they'll have, you know, maybe three times as many people down around 70 IQ as you'd expect. But there are no superior intelligences. They've simply wiped out their intelligence with fluoride, and they're intentionally adding it to our water. Not only that, but if you're in an area of the fluoridated water, why, your blood level goes up, probably because it's pulling the lead out of the solder. And, you know, then, of course, the aluminum in the vaccines destroys the brain. The mercury destroys the vein. They know what they're doing. This is the real tragedy, but nobody wants to talk about that.
I'll let you go.
Okay, well, God bless, and thanks so much for calling.
May I tell you one quick thing?
Sure you can.
Tomorrow night on the C-SPAN, the regular C-SPAN on Americans' Perspectives, it starts at 7 o'clock Central Time, so I guess 5 o'clock Pacific, but you'd have to check. They're showing part of Alex Jones's conference from Los Angeles.
Well, I think that's really so exciting, and Alex is doing such a great job. And of course, you know, they had Professor Stephen Jones there, who's a professor of, I think, engineering from the University of Utah, pointing out that he has examined some of the metal that came from the Twin Towers, and there's thermite on the steel. In other words, there were explosives that actually cut through those beams. But they can't let the American people know. If C-SPAN's going to get that out, we should write and congratulate them.
Well, it'll be tomorrow night, and if anyone listening isn't able to watch it, the name of the program is called American Perspectives.
All right,
it's about 3 hours, and they will have it available to look at on their website for a period of time after it's on TV.
All right, fine. Well, I thank you so much for mentioning that. And Alex has a new DVD coming out. We incidentally are carrying his DVD on the Bohemian Grove, and I just talked to them today. They're sending that to us. That is a very, very important one. But he's putting together a new one. I think it'll cover a lot of this material you're talking about. We need to congratulate and support Alex for what he's doing.
It's called Terror Storm.
Terror Storm. Right. And I don't know how soon they'll have it out, but apparently it's in the final stages.
Yes, sir.
God bless, and thanks so much for calling,
Jim.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Diana, who's calling from Aptos. And incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And since we don't have our regularly scheduled guest, why, it's just you out there in the audience and me, so if you have something you'd like to talk about, or maybe you disagree with me on my views, that we're seeing the Armageddon script actually being enacted. The players are in place, the orchestra is ready to go, and the curtain is about to rise on the final drama. Hi, Diana. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing just fine, thank you.
Well, I want to know where you got the book, because I've been calling bookstores all the afternoon trying to find it.
All right, fine. Well, now, I will tell you where I got it. The Capitola Book Cafe.
Thank you.
And wait a minute. They don't have it in stock.
They have to order it.
They had to order it, and they gave me two choices.
Okay.
I could buy it from London. They had one in London. It was going to cost me $35, but it was going to take about 4 to 6 weeks to get it. Or I could get a copy right away for $50. Well, after careful consideration, and especially with what's going on in the Middle East, I figured I better get the speech. I better get the book and read it now. I don't know what we're going to be for.
Yeah, we might not be here that much longer.
But anyway, Capitola Book Cafe, incidentally, they do a great job for me.
Okay, that's excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
I'll be calling them. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, let's go to Roger, who's calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger. How are you doing?
Yes, thanks, Dr. Stan. I was wondering if you had an opinion of these, stock talk radio conservatives are beating up on this Ward Churchill. And then I was wondering if you had any thoughts. I'm a little vacuum. If you have a better answer than me, that's okay. But I was wondering if you had any thoughts on the quality of Ward Churchill's opinions. And then following that, a bunch of or the same folks are trying to link this Wisconsin college professor as being another Ward Churchill.
Well, explain to me what this Churchill's views are. I really don't know.
Yeah, then just drop it down. I'm a little foggy on myself. So,
all right, fine. Well, I'm not gonna make a comment on something I really don't know anything about. But.
Yeah, I was just hoping you'd have a little better answer than I did. I wanted to ask my other thing was a few weeks back again you covered with, I think it was a Canadian doctor on mycoplasm.
Yes, uh-huh.
And I got the impression that your views and his somewhat came closer to those of the despised Peter Duisberg, except that he omits the mycoplasm part of it. Duisberg does, as far as it being a cause of immune deficiency disease.
Well, I don't know. I've read Peter Duisberg's work, and I've debated Peter Duisberg, and I've never heard him mention that mycoplasm was what this was all about. Duisberg makes the point that HIV does not produce AIDS at all. It's a harmless passenger virus. And, of course, what's really so interesting, the whole issue, and I don't know if you heard our interview last night with Boyd Graves, but if you get hold of these CIA documents, they were all supposed to be shredded. They're called the Special Virus Cancer Report. And, of course, I have 8 and 9, and I think Boyd has from 8 to 15 and probably has 6 or 7 as well. They want to destroy all of these because they did not want anybody to know that the CIA was working on creating these terrible diseases for mass extermination. And one of the names, one of the doctors who was involved in that, was Peter Duisberg. Now, another doctor who was involved in that was my friend, and I consider him a friend, Dr. Garth Nicholson. So I'm sure that Garth Nicholson was involved. He really didn't know what it was all about. And what they did is they went around the country, and they actually hired professors to do jobs for them, and they paid them very well. And certainly I don't know any of the particulars, but all I know is that Dr. Nicholson believes that this is genetically engineered. This is a terrible disease that's killing people. And Dr. Duisberg says that nobody's dying of HIV disease. And when we get back, perhaps we could talk a little bit more about his views, and I think it just confuses the issue because we're not talking about the important things. Where did the disease come from? Why aren't we trying to stop its spread? What we've done is shift the argument to, well, is there a disease or isn't there a disease? And since there is no disease, why, nobody's dying of it. We'll be back in just a moment, and welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Roger calling us from Allentown. He was asking me about Dr. Duisberg. Now, we had done an interview a couple of weeks ago with Don Scott. And Don, of course, expressed some concern about the HIV hypothesis. Now, I believe that HIV plays a part in the disease, but I believe you have to have more than HIV. I think you have to have a mycoplasma as well. And basically, the vast majority of people who have full-blown acquired immunodeficiency disease have not only HIV infection, they have the mycoplasm, and the combination of the two is what creates the lethality of this disease. So, if you ignore the mycoplasm, well, you're going to get confused. And then, of course, certainly within the homosexual community, so many of them got Kaposi's sarcoma that goes along with us, and that was why the original diagnosis of AIDS was based upon either pneumocystis pneumonia, which comes when you have no immune response, or Kaposi's sarcoma. Well, under any circumstances, why Dr. Duesberg really confuses the issue, they shift the argument away from, what should we do about the disease, where did it come from, to is there a disease at all? And there are many of these people who go around talking about the AIDS epidemic in Africa, and they use Dr. Duesberg's very convincing argument, who says, look, the World Health Organization has defined AIDS in Africa as weight loss, a fever, a cough, and diarrhea. Most people in Africa have weight loss and all of these symptoms, and if that is your diagnosis of AIDS, and that is the official World Health Organization diagnosis, then, of course, certainly there is no evidence that, there is any AIDS epidemic at all, and nobody's dying of it. It's just all made up. And the people who are dying are certainly, dying because they're getting the various AIDS drugs, which are very, very toxic. And this is all a conspiracy on the part of a group of wealthy people who want to get a lot of money for AIDS research and a lot of money funded to the homosexuals. And it is all a scam. There is no AIDS epidemic.
Yeah, and of course, you could have all those symptoms he described without having an immune system breakdown. You could have all those symptoms and recover full immune system function as well.
Well, of course, Roger, what's wrong with this, basically, is that in certain parts of Africa, and I've talked to the doctors in Kenya and in South Africa, where they have a very effective and very efficient healthcare delivery, and they do test the people for HIV infection. And, they do follow their CD4 counts, and literally millions of people are dying there, contrary to what the impression Dr. Duesberg would give you. And the real thing about this is that what they're saying is that these people are dying, and nobody knows whether they have AIDS or not. They're just dying. Well, the doctors there, certainly in South Africa, know whether they're dying from an immune suppressive disease or simply dying from some others. Yeah. And what they do is they want to talk about AIDS in Africa where we don't have really totally efficient statistics and totally ignore the statistics which are readily available in America where we have done multiple testing and we know who's dying of this altered immune system disease. And of course they point out that occasionally people will have this disease and not have AIDS. Yes, it may be one in 100,000 or one in 200,000. But it's very, very rare. They never mention that. Go ahead, Alan. Roger.
Yeah, could you clarify then your own interpretation presumably has changed in the last few months to a year to require the mycoplasm, in other words, to get...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I was just telling Roger that what they have done is they've confused the issue as far as AIDS. They try to say that there is no AIDS epidemic in Africa because the diagnosis in Africa, according to the World Health Organization, is just all skewed. And, of course, certainly if you're not going to be doing the blood testing, as many countries do not, so you can't tell whether a person's dying of AIDS or they're dying of malaria or what they're dying. Maybe they're dying of tuberculosis, and you classify them as AIDS. And I'm simply pointing out that if you go into many of these countries in Africa, where before the AIDS epidemic came, they had an average lifespan of 64. Today, their average lifespan is 30 to 32. That didn't just happen because there's no epidemic. And in many of these countries, they do have very adequate medical facilities. They do test many of the people, and they know whether they're dying of AIDS or not. I mean, so many people are dying over there, it's just unbelievable. But what this little group of people do are intentionally confusing us. They want to talk about AIDS in Africa, where in some areas they do not have adequate testing, and they're not testing the CD4 count, and they're not doing the viral counts, the PCR studies on them, totally ignoring then what's going on here in the United States, where we do have the facilities, and we know there's a major epidemic, and 500,000 people have died in America unnecessarily, another million are infected. What they want to do is talk about Africa. And what they've done is so confuse the issue that unless you understand what they're doing and they're playing games with your mind, you can't figure out what's going on, and you end up being confused and shaking your head. It is all part of the games they play with our mind. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, well, the PCR count presumably is specific to the so-called HIV virus in itself. I was just asking if your interpretation has somewhat been modified to require the mycoplasm to get the immune breakdown.
They almost all have it. And incidentally, the U.S. government holds the patent for this genetically modified type of mycoplasm.
Yeah, because we do know that some people have the mycoplasm and they don't have the HIV.
No, but if they have this specific type of mycoplasm, then they will, of course, get chronic fatigue disease, at least many of them will. And chronic fatigue syndrome is known as non-HIV AIDS.
Yeah, it's interesting that there have been immune suppression, for many years before that HIV was invented.
Roger, it would be maybe 1 in 100,000. The specific medication they use for this, and a specific a treatment for pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, actually there were probably only 6 cases in the entire country every year. So they will keep saying, well, some people who have this disease don't have AIDS. That is true. They had 5 or 6 cases every year in a nation of almost 300 million. They never tell you that. They never tell you how rare this non-specific immunodeficiency disease is. So what they do is they got you confused, and if you don't have a medical background, they'll run circles right around you.
Yeah, God bless, man. That helps.
God bless, and thank you. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And right now we have Ed calling from Calgary. That's Calgary, isn't it?
Yes, it's Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
All right. Somebody's written down Calvary, and I was on, gee, that's over in Israel. But go ahead, Calgary, go ahead.
Close. Yes, I'd like to give a plug for the city. We just turned 1 million, and we're the third largest city in Canada.
No, I'll tell you what, Calgary's a wonderful, wonderful town. Do you still have the rodeo? We call them rodeos. What do you call it up there?
Well, it's the stampede.
The stampede, right.
But it's rodeo, believe me.
All right.
I called in to congratulate you on another wonderful newsletter here.
Well, I debated sending that one out. You're talking about the a letter written by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad to President Bush?
Yes, sir, and don't debate about it. We have to get all sides of the story to see what kind of a mind this guy has. But anyway, I just called to ask you a question about Condoleezza Rice. I should be more courteous by saying Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Fine, right. Go ahead.
She's talking about a new Middle East, and I'm starting to hear that phrase almost every night. What is your take on what she's talking about?
Well, what they're talking about is
the Middle East.
They're really talking about a Middle East, of course, where there will be no opposition to Israel. Israel will be able to live there in peace, and Hezbollah and all of these other organizations will simply fade away and not be there. Well, I think she's being totally she's misleading us. Because, of course, Hezbollah is not going to go away. Hamas is not going to go away. The antagonism towards Israel is increasing, not decreasing. And I think that I see no possibility of peace in the Middle East at the present time. And, of course, what she's doing by not demanding a ceasefire immediately is simply stoking the flames of antagonism towards Israel. I think the whole of the Middle East is set to go up in flames. Hey, you hang on there. We'll be back in just a minute, Ed. Get your thoughts. Well, this is Arthur Stan and Ed. That's my feeling. I think that they they're talking about a utopian state that's just not going to exist. There is an intense hatred on the part of many people over there towards Israel, and even many of the Christians in Lebanon who are very, very much a pro-Israel. In other words, about half of Lebanon was Christian and half was Arab, half was Muslim. Today, I'd say that probably no one, either Christian or Muslim, in Beirut has any sympathy for Israel, because they've gone in there, destroyed the infrastructure, and they're attacking the civilians. They're blowing up the roads. They've blown up the airport. These are not Hezbollah. It's almost as if they're trying to totally destabilize the Lebanese government. And you know, there's 700,000. Lebanese who are fleeing, their refugees in their own country. As a direct result of the fact that Israel attacked, you know, Hezbollah and invaded Lebanon based upon the fact that two of their soldiers have been kidnapped. Do you really think that's the reason they invaded?
Doctor, I'm sorry, but Canada had to rescue 40,000 Canadians out of this country who were supposedly tourists.
You're talking in Lebanon?
Yes, out of Lebanon,
right.
You know? More than any other all the other countries, including the United States combined, 40,000 citizens were trying to get out of Lebanon to come to Canada. And, of course, everybody says, well, there's something wrong here. Another comment I have to make is when you say the Christians in Lebanon, it pains me so much to see Christians take up guns. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that the only reason to take up a gun is if you're really being attacked and you're doing it to defend your home and your family. But going all over the world and trying to bring about a new world order and force other people to look at things as you do and trying to change the customs in the Middle East, what we're doing is seeing enacted today. It's exactly what Samuel Huntington wrote about and warned us against in a book he wrote called The Clash of Civilizations. And he talked about if we were to go into the Middle East and try to force them to accept our way of life and give up their customs there, we would do nothing but antagonize them. And that's exactly what we're intentionally doing.
It's so good to listen to you, Doctor. I'm going to call this short because I've taken enough of your time up. God bless you, sir, and for your efforts, and it's so good to hear you on the radio.
God bless, and your job, Ed, is to get everybody up there in Calgary listening
and
to us.
And you're going to get a lot more hits in the next month, believe me.
I hope so.
On RadioLiberty.com.
RadioLiberty.com. God bless. Thanks so very
much.
Good night, sir. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And when we get back, it'll be Mary. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Mary calling from Western New York. Hi, Mary. Are you up there by Utica? Whereabouts?
No, I'm near 30 miles from Niagara Falls, actually.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, a couple. One is I'm thinking of going into a business, and I wondered if you would recommend transfer factor over the manganese, the you know, that strong antioxidant that they've discovered.
I'm really not too acquainted, but I've heard about the transfer factor, but I don't know anything about it, and I wouldn't want to hazard an opinion on something I don't know about.
Oh, okay. All right, and then the other thing was I was reading in the Last Trumpet Ministries newsletter, the one that just came out, the August one, and they said, special note at the end of this huge, long stuff that you don't get on the regular news, of course, that the Gay Pride Parade is going to be held in Jerusalem on August 10th. They won the approval, so it's going to go through. And
I don't think so. I think it's recently been canceled.
How recently?
Within the last 3 or 4 days.
Oh.
So, it's really very interesting. I'm so glad you brought that up. Well, I was scheduled to go to a meeting in New Orleans. It was last fall, and it was just about the time that the gay parade was going to be held in New Orleans. I wasn't going to that, but to another meeting. And, you know, just 3 days before the gay parade was to have been held in New Orleans, suddenly you had Hurricane Katrina strike the city.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they canceled the gay parade, needless to say. I think it's so interesting that they were going to have the first gay parade in Jerusalem, And yeah. Look what's happened. No, they, to my knowledge, they actually have canceled it. I suspect that the copy that you got of the last trumpet that you put out before they canceled the parade. If anybody out there in the listening audience knows anything different, let me know. But my understanding is that they canceled the gay parade in Jerusalem, and I'm so glad that they have. God is really trying to tell us something.
Well, it says here that the leaders of Islam have vowed to fight the Israeli state to the death to prevent this desecration. So maybe that's what's going to bring about the peace, is if they agree to not do it. Because that maybe that's the peace treaty Condoleezza Rice will have to work on.
Well, I don't think she's going to bring in anything having to do with the gay parade. But the thing is, I'm so surprised that Condoleezza has not demanded a ceasefire and demanded, of course, that we send troops and that Europe send troops. But right now it seems that we're rearming the Israelis. And, of course, they've used an awful lot of their weapons. So we're in the process of actually supplying them with even more sophisticated weapons, and these are radar and laser and satellite guided bombs, and so they're going to be continuing to pulverize Lebanon, and they're not attacking Hezbollah. If they were attacking Hezbollah, I could understand it, but they're not attacking Hezbollah. They're attacking the civilian population of Lebanon and destroying the infrastructure of that country that just got over a war and it was just beginning to rebuild.
Yeah.
So I think it's really so tragic, but you know, God is in this. There is a plan. I don't have all the details, but I do know that most of what's going on just doesn't make sense. And when you realize it doesn't make sense, then there has to be another factor there.
Right, the unseen. Exodus2006.com has a very, very bad-looking Bible code for August 3rd and 4th. Same thing like 9/11 and like May 23rd. And I don't know if you heard what happened on May 23rd. Apparently President Bush did make some sort of a deal with Israel. And if you go to Exodus2006.com, you can check it out for yourself.
All right, fine. Well, thank you so very much.
Okay.
I appreciate your calling.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Barbara, who's calling in. And Cindy, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Barbara from Soquel, California. Hi, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Mary was asking about the gay parade that was to be held in Jerusalem. And within the last week, I heard that the parade itself had been canceled because of the fighting over there. The other functions would continue so far anyway, but as of now, the parade had been canceled.
Well, I think that God, you know, does not approve of this sort of thing. I don't care what our courts say, that homosexuality is perfectly normal. In the scriptures, it said it's an abomination. I think it's an abomination. I think it's a terrible affliction. I feel very sorry for people who have this this condition. I think we should pray for them. We should help them in any way that we can. But if we care about homosexuals, we're going to tell them that what you're doing is wrong and it's going to kill you. And if you want to kill off homosexuals, then I would tell them, go ahead, do what you're doing. It's perfectly normal. And that's exactly what so many of our leaders are doing. And you know, one of the hardest things for me to accept was that anybody would actually encourage homosexuality. But we actually have, and it's in our syllabus on fluoride, something that came from one of the Planned Parenthood organizations back in 1970, talking about population control. One of the things they talked about, they said, we're going to, of course, encourage couples not to get married, keep the marriage tax there, and we're going to make abortion legal. But then, of course, they wanted to put something in the drinking water to stop people from having children. Of course, that's the water fluoridation. But they wanted to encourage homosexuality. This is 1970. Who would actively encourage homosexuality? Only people who wanted to destroy human beings, both their souls and their bodies. Because the average homosexual dies, as you know, about 39 or 40. Why would anybody want to encourage that lifestyle? Anything else, Barbara?
No, that was all. I just wanted to clarify that the news thing.
Well, I appreciate so very much your calling. Thank you, sir, Barbara. And now let's go to Mike in calling from Toledo. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I guess it's going to be open lines tonight. Go ahead, Mike. Did you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Yeah, I wanted to ask a question about that book, The Armageddon Script.
Right.
Is that authored by Peter Lemessurier?
Lemessurier. Right.
Oh, that's a French pronunciation.
Right. In fact, you can look it up on the internet. Just Google it. And
yeah, I did.
It's a mystery.
And, I found some used books out there for far less than $50. I just thought I'd make mention of that. I wanted to make sure I had the right book, though.
That is. And, well, you're better at Google. I looked up on Google. I looked on eBay. And so then I called up my local bookstore, and they had it. You know, but they told me I could get one over in England. They could find it. Maybe they are not as good looking on Google as you are. Anyway, I think it should be a fascinating book. Why don't you get a copy? And I'll get a copy. I hope I'll have mine in a week. We'll both read it, then we can talk about it.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr.
Hey, thank you so very much.
Bye.
And for those that are not listening, didn't hear our program last night with Constance Cumby. I'm constantly amazed at Constance. Certainly, she is one of the best researchers we have out there, and I'm indebted to her for writing the book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and for introducing me to this whole concept that the Masons and the Theosophists and the Rosicrucians and the New Agers, and certainly all of these organizations, you know, tying into the ancient mystery religions, are out there. They're working, and they have an agenda, and they have a power base, and they infiltrated our every aspect of our society. Most people don't even understand this, but there really is behind everything going on this spiritual conspiracy. Well, anyway, of course, Constance was talking about this book that had been written in 1981 called The Armageddon Script. And apparently it was written by this Peter Lemessurier, and he was laying out this whole plan that is to be brought about. And, of course, really they're talking about is certainly getting the various groups throughout the world fighting one another, and out of the horror, out of the total collapse of society, they intend to take over with their world leader. So I'm certainly looking forward to reading the book. Apparently, it's very, very specific in what they anticipate happening. And of course, it's been very clear to me and to my good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy and others that they have always been planning on three world wars. And Dr. Cuddy, actually, in his research, was never able to verify what many conservatives talk about, and that was the letter that was supposedly written in about 1871 from a Mazzini, who headed the Carbonari, which was a secret society in Mazzini and was deeply involved in the occult, to Albert Pike, who was, of course, the founder of the Scottish Rite Masonry, or at least the man who established the various degrees, and in his book Morals and Dogma laid out the very foundation of modern-day Masonry. And supposedly Mazzini had stated that there would be three wars. They would take three wars to bring about their one world government that they sought after, and, of course, their world ruler. Well, many people have talked about the letter. We've tried to track it down. I even had a very good friend of mine who actually had gotten in touch with a man who had all of the papers of Commander Guy Carr. And Commander Guy Carr had written about this. A letter said that he had seen it in a British museum, and, of course, it disappeared after that. But Guy Carr had died, and then the gentleman who had all of his papers was going to meet with my friend, and just a week before the meeting, this gentleman died. So my friend never got a chance to actually verify this fact. But Dennis Cuddy was actually able to get some writings from a Catholic cardinal or bishop back in about the 1880s, where they were talking about this concept. This was the occultist plan, which for three world wars, the First World War, the Second World War, the Third World War. If you read some of the books and writings of H.G. Wells, he will tell you that he actually in a book called The Shape of Things to Come, I believe was the title. He was talking about when he wrote the book, I think in early 1930s, something like that. Anyway, he was talking about the Second World War would begin with this incident between Germany and Poland. And he said it would start in 1939. Then he said the third try at the New World Order would come out of a meeting that was going to be held in Basra. Well, you know where Basra is. That's in southern Iraq. And this was in, I think, 1988. Well, he recognized, of course, there was going to have to be a third try at the New World Order. But H.G. Wells was never on the inside of the secret societies. He was always affiliated with them, and I write a great deal about him in my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and I suggest you read it. He was, H.G. Wells was in touch with a roundtable group, but he would never let him in. Everybody looked at him as just a little eccentric. He was not, of course, of the aristocracy, and so the aristocracy looked down upon him. We have a letter that Winston Churchill wrote to H.G. Wells saying, well, you know, I really can't talk about that outside of this secret circle. And I believe a copy of that is in our Iraq the Untold Story syllabus, copy of the letter Winston Churchill wrote to H.G. Wells. But H.G. Wells recognized it was going to be the Second World War was not going to bring about the one world government they wanted. Our friend Bill Stebland said that actually Manly P. Hall, who of course was deeply involved in Satanism and appeared to him as an apparition and told him about the Third World War that would come about in the Middle East, was supposed to start in the year 2002. Of course, we did not invade Iraq until 2003, but the more I see what's going on, everything looks like it's following some sort of a master plan. Because there's very little logical to what's going on today. Well, somebody has a question. Can you elaborate on the occult technologies employed by Nazi Germany and if such technology is used by the government today? Well, when you talk about occult technology, certainly we know that the SS was an occult organization. This was, of course, Hitler's stormtroopers, and, of course, they each had a special ring. It had magical qualities. They believed, of course, they had that magical qualities. Why, you know, they'd be protected from injury. We do know that, for instance, the special forces. They have an article, book on special forces, and every unit, every person doesn't have a magical ring. Just certain groups will have magical rings, and of course, they pass them on when they're going into very very specialized situations. The SS is really the. Pardon me, the modern-day Special Forces is the counterpart of the SS. I mean, these are highly trained killers. They're trained how to kill. They consider themselves patriots, and I think that people in the Special Forces are unusual men. They're very, very physically fit. They're very, very dedicated. I believe they think they're patriots. They do not realize, of course, they're being encroached, controlled by very evil and wicked people, and are being used not to preserve America, but to bring about this a new world order and a new world religion. The Nazis, of course, were deeply involved with a belief in of course, the Aryan race superiority. Of course, the execution of the Jews really was part of this idea of creating the Aryan super race. They not only hated Jews, they hated Gypsies. They hated blacks. They just hated everybody who was not of the Aryan race. And, of course, this idea of the Aryan super race goes back to the writings of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. And for those of you who haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, get it. And then, of course, if you really want to begin to get into an understanding of what this is about, and you have a great deal of patience and two encyclopedias, Britannicas, and a dictionary, you could read The Secret Doctrine, written by Helena. Well, she didn't really write it. It was channeled to her by a demonic spirit. I think it was named Kuthumi was the one she referred to. Kuthumi had channeled the three volumes of The Secret Doctrine. And I think so many of these books are actually channeled, but Adolf Hitler had read The Secret Doctrine. In fact, his copies of The Secret Doctrine are told her in the National Archives, and even he would write little notes in the margin. But this is where Adolf Hitler got his truly supernatural power, and he could really control the minds of men exactly as Colonel House could control the minds of President Woodrow Wilson and President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So Adolf Hitler had this amazing capacity. He could hold an audience. He could get up and talk for 4 hours. And tens of thousands of people would stand there in marked awe and listening to him and cheering on and shouting, Heil Hitler. So certainly they tapped into the supernatural. Of course, Adolf Hitler really felt he could get even more power by having the spear, and I believe it's Longimus. It was the spear supposedly that had pierced the side of Jesus Christ, and supposedly that spear was kept in Vienna, and as soon as they took Vienna, the Nazis took Vienna, he had the he had that spear actually brought up to Berlin. So he would possess this spear with magical powers, and, of course, whoever had the spear could not be defeated in battle. And of course, he bought all sorts of monks from Tibet there. And, of course, so much of this Aryan philosophy ties into Tibet, and even Madame Blavatsky had gone in Tibet actually searching for the origins of the Aryan race. In fact, Hitler actually sent expeditions, and Himmler actually sent expeditions to Tibet to track down the origins of the Aryan man, who was, of course, personified in the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nazis that they were actually breeding. And they were breeding boys and girls there. And they would take blonde-haired, blue-eyed girls and of course, pair them with blonde-haired, blue-eyed boys and have them have children. They didn't have to get married. They were simply breeding a new human race. And that's what was going on in Germany. Under the influence of this occult beliefs of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and, well, Alice Bailey and the others. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course somebody had called in and was asking about the occult technologies utilized by Nazi Germany. Now, there are questions as to whether there were any supernatural things that were going on. We do know that Hitler was deeply involved in astrology, and there is a wonderful book written about Adolf Hitler, and of course it was written by William Stevenson. William Stevenson's book on the Nazis pointed out that Hitler really believed in astrology, and so the Allies, knowing that, would get astrologers to write different types of horoscopes, plant them in the German papers, so that actually Hitler then would modify his plans. And one of the stories that I heard was that they delayed the German attack on Russia. They wanted to delay it as long as they can because they wanted Hitler to get and his troops to get trapped in the winter in Russia, exactly as Napoleon had, and apparently they were able to convince Hitler to hold off the attack on Russia, and of course until it was so late that his men were going to get trapped there. So there's so many aspects of this that very few people know about. Actually, the History Channel has an excellent three-hour program or three- or four-hour program on cult in the Third Reich, the occult in the Third Reich. Now, it doesn't cover a lot of the things we've talked about tonight, but it will certainly give you the relationship between Adolf Hitler and Helena Petrovna Blavatsky and astrology and all of these things. But, you know, do not be surprised, because many of our presidents are involved with astrology. In fact, of course, there's a book written by Joan Quigley, who is one of Nancy Reagan's astrologers. The book is entitled, What Did Joan Say? What Did Joan Say by Joan Quigley. And, of course, that was what Ronald Reagan would ask Nancy Reagan. What did Joan say? And Joan Quigley was actually directing American foreign and domestic policies. She was an astrologer. And, of course, Nancy and Ronald were both deeply involved in astrology, as was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as was, of course, Hillary. Of course, Hillary and Bill were involved in astrology. Certainly Woodrow Wilson was involved in astrology. What most people don't understand is you go to Washington, D.C. today, and you look at the ceilings of many of the buildings there, you'll find the signs of the zodiac painted or engraved or embedded in the ceilings of the buildings. What is the zodiac doing there? It influences, reflects the occult influence on our government over a period of many years. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do thank everybody who called in this evening. Otherwise, it would have been a long evening, but thank you for all of your calls. And of course, we regularly have open lines on Wednesday. But we hope that many of you, of course, will listen to our programs on a regular basis, tell other people, that many of you will decide you want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to finance the 60 outlets we have every single week. We're a small voice, but at least we're a voice. And you can hear the truth here that you're not going to hear elsewhere. And we do have a unique opportunity to talk to people in key positions, and sometimes we'll get very good information. We have some people who are very highly placed in government who suggested, and I don't know whether they're right or not, but that we are going to be involved in a war with Iran in the very near future. I hope and pray that they're wrong. We're just going to have to wait and see. But as this scenario plays out in the Near East, nothing is logical. America is at war with Iran. Israelis are fighting for America and being supplied by America. Hezbollah is fighting for Iran and being supplied by Iran, and the Iranian fighters that are actually going from Tehran into Lebanon to fight against the Israelis. So hope and pray that this thing doesn't flare up into a major conflict, but right now things really don't look very good, and some of the information we're getting suggests that maybe, just maybe, this is the beginning of the Armageddon script. Well, if you really want to understand how this all works, we hope many of you will want to get some of the things we carry. One of them, of course, is videos or DVDs. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll by Joe Schimmel. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. Chris Pinto's Megiddo 1 and Megiddo 2. And if you haven't seen them, you really need to get them and watch them. Certainly the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, and I play a little part in that, but that is an award-winning presentation, 3 hours of the most fascinating history that you'll ever watch, going into the background of America's beginning, because there were two forces here. There was the Christian force, the strong Christian force. The vast majority of the American people were Christians and wanted to establish a Christian republic where men could be free, but the occultists were here at that time as well, carrying on the ancient traditions of the ancient mystery religions that have been around here since the beginning of time. And so you need to understand how these two forces have been in conflict here in the United States. And, of course, the video again, or DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. Then to put things into a more clear perspective, let me suggest my talk on the world revolution, because there has been many centuries, a continuing world revolution. It began with the American Revolution in 1776, but it continued with a series of revolutions in France, and it culminated, well, first with the revolution in Russia in 1917, with the revolution in Cuba in 1959, but then it continues today. The latest nation to fall was Nepal. And, of course, what happened in Nepal? Why, we were backing the communist side, as we always have in all of the revolutions, which doesn't make really any sense. We toppled Somoza in Nicaragua to bring the Sandinista to power. We toppled the legitimate government, duly elected government, in Rhodesia to bring the communists to power. We toppled the government in South Africa to bring the communists to power, and in Southwest Africa and in Angola. Why would we do anything that stupid? And why are we doing everything we can to build up communist China's military and financial potential today, when communist China is financing Iran and Iran is financing Hezbollah that is fighting Israel, who's our surrogate? Ladies and gentlemen, nothing as it appears to be. And when you understand that, everything makes sense. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. So please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protections. We try to educate the American people about the spirits of battle for the soul of America. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that they happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have this on the line. Our good friend Bob Chapman, who's been at this game even longer than I have, and we're going to be talking about what's really going on behind the scenes financially. And hi, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty good.
Oh, how can you be pretty good when things are so bad? Or maybe,
well, I don't
maybe
let it,
it
bother
be...
me. You know, after 47 years, you get somewhat immune to what's going on, and you just use your depth of knowledge to challenge it.
Well, I think, of course, it reminds me of what Aaron Zeltman said the other night from Jews for the Preservation of Firearms. You know, he says, worse is better, because things got to get a lot worse before anybody's going to really want to get involved and understand what's going on. Well, certainly the market, the amazing recovery. I couldn't believe it this evening. Every single stock seemed to go up. How could that possibly be? All those stocks, I mean, all these stocks going up. Maybe half were going up or half were going down, but all going up at one time. It's almost as if somebody's manipulating the stock market.
Well, it is, because they are manipulating the stock market.
And I think it's so vital, important that people understand everything is a matter of perception. They're controlling our reality. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. If you know what figures to look for, you can tell exactly what the market's going to do each day. I mean, you'll have a plethora of bad news and the market goes up, but if you look at what the Fed created in money that day, which goes to their agents, which in turn goes into the markets, you can figure that the market's going to go up if they increase it. Like today, they increased the $10 billion to $121.34 billion in the repo pool, which means there's about $200 billion dollars available to gamble in the market with, and they can even leverage that further. And if you put that together with what the euphemistically known as the plunge protection team does, and that is the working group of financial markets, altogether they had over $1 trillion to boot today. And so they leaned on the yields in the bond market by making bonds go up a little bit, and they took the stock market up again. So the week it was up around 3% overall, and that's the way they do it. And at the same time, they go into other markets and prop them. They also sometimes suppress markets, such as they tried to do with gold today, but they were very unsuccessful. Silver as well. And in fact, they failed in commodities involved today. But those are the things that they're doing all the time. And there's very few people who understand that the facts are all there. People who take economics in college never get things like this. And even people who have masters and doctorates don't get involved in it, because it's taught on a Keynesian basis. And that is that essentially anything goes.
But I think the idea that they would actually manipulate the markets to influence our outlook. And, you know, when the market should go down, it goes up. When the market should go up, it goes down. And we've seen this time and time again. I mean, you know, when this whole conflict in the Near East began a few days ago, about 10 days ago, you would have thought that gold and the silver and oil would skyrocket. And what did they do? They all turned south. Didn't happen just by accident, I believe by intent. Well, Bob, go ahead and pick up the story there.
Well, the first week of the invasion of Lebanon, the market in gold and silver did go down, but it's recovered that. this week. And the precious metals, along with the base metals and other commodities, finished the week quite well in spite of the pressure that had been put upon them. There's a lot of physical buyers out there in the case of the precious metals. And in the case of the base metals, their inventories are just so small, like in nickel. Today I wrote up a piece on Inco, which is the second largest nickel manufacturer in the world. And they said that they have the lowest inventory in 10 years on average. And they can't fill all their orders. They're having to turn orders away. So you have fundamental things going on that are very, very powerful, and they can't easily be stopped. I just did the numbers today for tomorrow's International Forecaster, and the Federal Reserve continue to create unbelievable amounts of money and credit. Even though they're not showing in three, you can back into what they're doing. And, you know, every week, as an example, loans to banks are up 25, 30, 35, 40 billion dollars a week. And so you know that inflation and hyperinflation are going to continue. And at the same time, they'll probably hold interest rates where they are. And what they're doing, because the retail, residential, home and markets is starting to falter, and the prices are based out and are probably starting to go down. And you have these enormous inventories. So what they're doing, the banks, to keep liquidity in the system, is that they are making tremendous loans to those who are involved in commercial banks. Excuse me, commercial building. And so they intend to keep this thing going. It's not going to go away, and they're going to inflate until they can't inflate anymore and it collapses. And where that will be, I don't know, but we'll have those people who read the International Forecaster. We'll have a year to a year and a half to prepare themselves for the final run in hyperinflation. And,
hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Chapin. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapin. And Bob is saying that, you know, of course, the average individual really doesn't know what's going on because the Fed, it's just too expensive to print the M3. We can't do that. It's just too hard. And the truth is they're covering up the fact, massive increase in amount of money being put into the economy. They do not want the American people to know that they are intentionally inflating our currency and destroying the solvency and the savings and the security of the majority of our elderly citizens, the majority of everybody in this country, because the stability of a society is based upon the stability of the currency, and they're destroying the value of our currency. Would that be a pretty good analysis, Bob?
That's the paper trail, so to speak, and yes, that's what they're doing. They've been doing it for a long time, but never to the extent that they are today. I think that we would have had a giant recession, depression, beginning already had it not been for the just about total failure of the invasions and occupations in Afghanistan and in Iraq. And now they're in a state of failure in Israel as well. I mean, the advances have come to a standstill. It's now been discovered that the people who supposedly were kidnapped were actually taken prisoner in Lebanon, and the conduct of the war has been attacked by almost everybody in the world as being satanic, if you may. The killing of innocent people on a routine basis.
Attacking civilians, blowing up large segments of the city of Beirut, this is not a military stronghold. I mean, Beirut
well,
is
not
the
only
biggest,
that, you know, they had the UN command post, which had been talking to them for 8 hours, telling them, don't do this, don't do that, because there's no combatants here. And finally they get sick of listening to them, and they blew them up. And when they went to find them, they brought the four bodies back, all of which had been decapitated, in 40 pieces. Now, normal, sane people don't do things like that.
Well, but it's almost, Bob, as if the leaders of Israel are doing everything they can to turn the entire Islamic world against Israel. And, you know, certainly there was a lot of sympathy for Israel and Lebanon before the war, but I don't think there's any sympathy or support for Lebanon among either the Muslims or the Christians in Lebanon today, when 700,000 of the people have been driven from their homes. Many of them have lost everything they have. They're bombing in civilian communities, you know, for no political purpose at all other than total destruction. Doesn't make sense. If you're looking at it logically, if there's a spiritual force behind it, maybe it all makes sense, and we're preparing for something much larger. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I know that the elitists want to form a bloc, and a geographical bloc, and this has been their end desire in this region, the Middle East, for the last 25 years, if not more. I've known it for about 25 years. And I started writing about this 25 years ago, but quite a bit in the early 1990s. And what they want to do is install puppet governments in a block of countries, which would include Israel, Turkey, Lebanon, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, also up through and into Azerbaijan and Georgia. And if they can get that bloc completed and have their dummy government set up, they can control the whole inner part of that region, and they can access and control the oil that's produced in that region, and mostly in the lower Caspian, which is Azerbaijan, and has to go through Georgia. They just put a new pipeline in, and which goes to Ceyhan, which is in Turkey, and of course control Iraq and Iran's oil, so that they will be guaranteed oil on an indefinite basis. And so that's really what they're up to.
Well, I really think they already have more or less a puppet government in Pakistan. They have a puppet government in certainly in Egypt. They have certainly the Saudis are going right along with all of our programs. They have more or less a puppet government in Turkey. In other words, if the people were allowed to vote tomorrow, they'd vote the military out of power, and they would vote in a radical Islamic government. So we're certainly not going to allow real democracy, but we have to convince the American people we're there for democracy. So we've installed Karzai in Afghanistan. He used to work for UNICAL. I mean, does anybody really think he represents the Afghan people and this new guy that they have in Egypt? So we already have our puppets in most of those countries.
You're absolutely right. But that's the intent. That's the direction in which they're going. And they will keep right on doing that. They don't care how many people get killed, innocent or non-innocent. They, again, highly underestimated the power of Hezbollah. They thought they'd go in there in a week and have them out of there. And what's happened is they've gone in a week and have gone virtually nowhere. This army, they called them terrorists, which they're not, of Hezbollah, which has existed since 1982 as part of the last agreement, they are dug in. We're talking about 150 foot or more under the surface of the terrain there. And the elitists always seem to never understand, for some reason, that when you attack a country, that if you don't totally annihilate the people, they're going to continue to come back at you like they have, as an example, in Iraq. That's gone into a civil war, and which we promulgated, incidentally, we being the United States. And now the Iranians have got units in there that they've been holding in abeyance in secret that are started to operate about 2 weeks ago, and they are attacking the Americans and the British.
Now, wait a minute. So, where are you speaking of now?
I'm speaking of Iraq.
Oh, okay, fine.
And what Iran did on the orders of Khomeini was plant military units, not in uniform, in Iraq, and held them in abeyance until they were ready to use them. And now they're using them. I mean, the chaos is unbelievable. I wouldn't want to be a soldier or a Marine over there because you don't know who the enemy is.
Sure. And I feel so sorry for...
And this situation has been created because the elitists who planned this thing, they really don't understand the very depths of human nature. And when you go into somebody's country and you try to take his land and his life and his family's life in his religion away from, there's no logic to the reaction that you're going to get. And that reaction is internal fighting until you exterminate them all.
Well, you know, I think it's so tragic. What most Americans do not understand is because of our intervention in Iraq, we've driven all of the Christians out. It used to be 10% of the population of the 25 million were Christian. Now it's down to 2 or 3%. We've driven over half of the middle-class people out there. About 1.8 million Iraqis have fled into Jordan. And, of course, now, of course, you can't even buy a house in Amman, Jordan. There are no houses there because all the people from Iraq, they're there, the professional people. So they've destroyed the whole infrastructure of the country. In Baghdad today, why, if you live in a Shia area and you're a Sunni, you pick up and leave, and you leave your home, you leave everything behind. If you're a Shia living in a Sunni area, you do the same thing. I mean, hundreds of people are leaving their homes every day just to get away from the threat of being killed. And, of course, the most amazing thing about what's going on over there is a lot of the killing is being done by the Mahdi army, which the American government tolerates. Why do we allow an independent Shia militia, a military, paramilitary unit, to go around killing Sunni Muslims? Doesn't make sense unless maybe you want a civil war there.
That's the way they want it. And that's what I mentioned earlier. They planned it and executed it. And that's why it's going on.
Well, I think that, of course, we're in real trouble. What do you think is going to happen in the Near East? Do you think that there's going to be a peace, or do you think that this is going to expand into a major war between the United States and Iran, which is what it's really all about anyway?
Well, I think, unfortunately, that in all likelihood it will continue. I think U.S. elections will have something to do with that. Now, I know that elitists don't have a party. They're in all parties, doing all things at all time to everybody. But I think that if the Republicans lose control of the House and Senate in November, I think it'll derail their program because they're going to have to realign everything, and there'll be a great hue and cry to get the troops out of those countries. And I think that would stop their whole program dead in its tracks. And, of course, both parties have been fixing elections.
Well, at least you'd have gridlock, and wouldn't that be wonderful? I think gridlock's a lot better when you got one party that controls the Senate and the House and the presidency, and all of the good Republican congressmen are afraid to vote their conscience. They do what the party bosses tell them, totally ignoring what the American people want, what the people who put them in power want. And I think, of course, every one of those congressmen is coming up for election. I hope an awful lot of them remain in their districts, after the elections. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapin here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Bob Chapin. Bob, certainly they knocked gold and silver way down. They're coming back again. And then they knocked it down again with the invasion. What do you think the future holds for gold and silver at the present time?
Well, I think that it's interesting the estimates that we have. I estimated, based on inflation, that gold should be $1,700 an ounce. Jim Sinclair, who's my age and has been in as long as I have, he says $1,650. And Harry Schultz, which is a little older than we are, he says $1,600. And I saw Martin Weiss come out this week and say $2,160. So we're looking at a price somewhere between, and we're all experts, and we're all going to be right to some degree. We're going to be close. So you're looking at between $1,600 and say $2,200 per ounce on gold, and silver would probably go back to $50 based on that, and maybe even higher, because the fundamentals in silver, are inventory-wise, are overwhelming. And so gold and silver are a fantastic investment, particularly at these levels. And I expect gold to go much higher than that. That is not the only factor why gold would go up to just to catch up with inflation. We also have all kinds of terrible financial and economic things that are going on. And then on top of that, we have wars. And we have religious conflict, and there's a whole bouillabaisse of downright horrible things, and it's been coming on for a long time, as you and I both know, having been the way we involved the way we have for so very long. And so I believe we're looking at much, much higher prices, and I see it as the only way on a permanent basis that people can retain their assets, never mind make money. I mean, just retaining what you've got is going to be something that only 5% of the public will be able to do. The rest of them are going to lose almost everything.
Well, now, what about silver? When do you think silver is really going to start? I mean, it got up to almost, it was pushing 15, and then, of course, it backed off and went down to 10, and now it's back to 1140, something like that today. But you had anticipated that it could go to 25 by the end of the year. Do you still think that's a possibility, or is that maybe just a little exaggerated?
No, I think it could go there. They're drawing the inventory down that's on COMEX, and we're down 100 million ounces just above that today. The drawdown's been phenomenal. In the last last month, it's been drawn down from 105 to 100 million ounces. I mean, that's an incredible drawdown. And, you know, that's the only known visible above-ground source that we know of.
What about all this silver that's in the exchange-traded fund? Is that available?
Well, I would think that anything would be available at a higher price. And so the answer is yes. But it's a traded fund. So as the price of silver goes up, more people are going to buy the exchange-traded fund, and they're going to have to buy more silver, pushing the price ever higher.
Now, what is the symbol for that? Do you know offhand? A silver exchange-traded fund?
And quite frankly, it's late at night. I'm tired, but
okay,
I can't remember, but it's the new silver ETF.
All right, fine. This is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Chapman. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob, certainly he's been at the financial markets for a long, long time. So if you have a question, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, of course, you have said in the past that you thought that silver might get up as high as $200 an ounce.
Yeah, that's possible. It all depends on what happens and how wild inflation gets. We really don't know. This is an art form. It's not something you can put a slide rule to and say, oh, gee, this is where it's going to go because of this, that, and the other thing. It doesn't work that way. And so we don't know. It could be $500. We just don't know. But we do know it's higher. And we won't know how high is until we get there.
All right, fine. Well, I'm not trying to pin you down. Yes, I am trying to pin you down.
I mean, I wish I had an answer, but I don't. I'm being super perfectly honest. I just know that we're headed higher. We're headed over $50 on silver. But whether it's 100, 200, or 500, I just don't know.
And I think this is the frightening thing is that if we go into an inflationary spiral, and the Fed is doing everything they can to promote runaway inflation, but they can't tell the American people what they're doing. What they're doing is doing everything they can to destroy the value of our currency, to destroy the value of our savings and our annuities and our CDs and everything that's denominated in dollars. That's the frightening thing to me. Would you agree or disagree with that, Bob?
Well, I agree completely. That's exactly what they're doing. And it's part of their effort to destroy the world economy, but particularly the U.S. economy, so that people will accept world government.
And I think you're absolutely right.
And that's really what they're after. And that's why the failure in Afghanistan and in Iraq, and now, even after 16 days, the failure already in Lebanon. I mean, the top people, the people who really make the decisions among the elitists, must be unbelievably mad. Because, and I've got to go back to the comment about 2.5 months ago of Zbigniew Brzezinski, and I'm mispronouncing that, but Brzezinski.
Zbigniew Brzezinski, I think.
That's it. It's a tongue twister, that's for sure. And he says, I mean, these people are so incompetent, it's beyond words. They have set back the move toward world government by I forget how many years he said. It was 5 years. And I had written an article saying, it's not 5 years. It's a heck of a lot, longer than that. And so I think they're in serious trouble. And you see, they put this financial failure into process, and they can't stop it now. They can extrapolate it somewhat, meaning they can extend it. But the longer they extend it, the worse the crash is going to be, and they know that. And so they're going to find a way to clean up this mess in the Middle East and put them in the position where they want to be, and it ain't working for them.
Well, quite frankly,
they're panic-stricken. They're panic-stricken about the fact that they can no longer control the gold market on a continual basis.
Well,
it's impossible.
They
just don't have the gold.
Well, I certainly hope that they do lose control of the gold market, that we can get back to an honest market with an honest money system. I don't know whether I'll live to see it, but, certainly if you do not have a stable monetary system, you do not have a stable society. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Our guest is Bob Chapman. Of course, I was reading in the paper last night. General Motors is opening major plants in Mexico. You're not hearing anything about it here. General Motors has opened major plants in South Korea. General Motors has opened major plants in China. In fact, General Motors is the largest car producer in China, competing with, of course, the major Chinese producers. And yet, the average person here in America has no idea what it's going to mean when General Motors, our automotive industry, is pretty well closed down here, when the major production is coming from Mexico and other places, when our longshoremen are out of jobs. They're making $120,000 now. The average longshoreman makes $120,000 a year. Wait till the new NAFTA highway gets in, and, of course, all the shipping comes in through Mexico. Longshoremen are out of jobs. Trucking will be primarily Mexican. Teamsters are out of jobs. The automotive industry will be moving out of the Detroit and out of the Midwest, and more people, Americans, are going to be unemployed. Doesn't look very good for the middle class, does it, Bob?
No, it doesn't. And to add a couple more, IBM is moving everything out of the country, and that came from the president of the company.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Sure.
Oh. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Bob Chapman. Bob is saying that the president of IBM has announced they're going to move everything out of the country or just part of it?
Well, they've alluded to everything, but they've said that they're going to move about two-thirds of their operation out.
And that's really going to impact on so many people here. And, you know, what are the young people going to do? They're coming out of college. They've got engineering degrees. They've got degrees in computer science. And but where are they going to get jobs?
They aren't. They aren't. And these wars are supposed to occupy them. They'll either join as volunteers because they can't make a living, or they'll have a draft and they'll be drafted in. And that's what's going to keep them off the streets and keep them from creating a riot situation or perhaps a revolution. And that's why they're going to do that. But the president of IBM said, yeah, we're going to move two-thirds of our people, and eventually we're going to move everything out. And he said that he was talking to other elitists, and he said we should move everything. Us international trading companies should move everything out of the United States to avoid what we see coming, which is tariffs, which is protective tariffs. Finally, too late, unfortunately. And I don't think it ever occurred to him that if they're going to do that, that's fine. The only thing is they're not going to avoid any tariffs because they're going to be shipping services and manufactured goods into the United States, and they're going to pay dearly to be able to sell them there. And so that isn't going to work, so he's wrong on that. There was an announcement today that General Electric is going to move most of their manufacturing jobs out of the United States. They're moving them to China. And we're talking another 50,000, 100,000 people. You know, this just backs up what you're saying, and it goes on and on and on. And Americans, yes, they don't get it. Even people who have advanced degrees, intellects, they don't get it. They don't understand.
You see, Bob, they don't get it because it doesn't make sense. They don't understand that there's a reason all of these things are going on. But people say, why would anybody want to destroy America? What they don't understand is there are people who hate America. And many of them are some of the wealthiest people in the United States. Because their loyalty is not to America, but to this internationalist dream. And we're going to be back here in just a moment with Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. And I've got to get Rick from Texas on in just a moment here. Hang on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Bob Chapman. And, Bob, before we go on, I want you to get your telephone number, your website out, so people can know how to get in touch with you and get information on the International Forecaster.
Well, all of you grab your pencil and paper, because you can have a free complimentary copy by calling 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. If you'd like to visit our website, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com. And we produce a email version every Saturday, and sometimes we even put one out during the week. And we also have a hard copy that goes out twice a month, so if you don't have a computer, you can still get a copy. And so there you go.
All right, fine. Well, it's a fascinating program, fascinating newsletter. I look forward to getting it every Sunday and Saturday or Sunday. I think once you get hooked on it, you will too. Let's go to Rick. Rick, do you have a question on our, what we're talking about this evening or what?
Where is Mr. Chapman's seat?
I can't hear him.
Go ahead. I'll transmit it. Rick, what's the question?
Where does he see silver going over the short term, like for the rest of this year?
All right, fine. Well, what do you think silver's going to do the rest of this year, short term?
Oh, I think it can easily go to $15, and it might go as high as $25. And gold will test 730 and in all likelihood go to 850. And there's going to be a lot of things happening during September and October. Incidentally, the best 6 months of the year are from September through February in the gold market. And this election's coming up, and Republicans and other incumbents, in fact, most all incumbents, are terrified that they're going to get thrown out of office or voted out of office. And everybody's going to be scrambling, and there's going to be all kinds of dirty politics and vitriolics going on, and at the same time, all kinds of other negative things. I think the stock market will be held up by the Fed and the plunge protection team, and the bond market as well, but after the election is over, it's sayonara for them too. But prior to that, the real action is going to be in gold and silver, and it's going to surprise everybody, and it's going to finally, once silver breaks 25 and gold breaks 850, you're going to have a lot of interested parties that didn't believe what they saw before. And there's one other thing, and that is, you would have to be 45 years old to have experienced the last run in gold and silver between 1977 and 1981.
Oh, boy, it was a sure and exciting time. I remember that.
And so people don't understand gold and silver. They don't know about it unless they're over 45, and a good many of them don't know either. So it's kind of a secret unless people were to subscribe to the International Forecaster or other publications like that, or listen to these kinds of programs.
Okay, Rick, does that answer your question? Bob thinks it'll go 15, maybe 25 by the end of the year.
Yes, from what I'm understanding from, he believes it'll mainly move before the election, September and October.
It'll have a good move. And after the elections, it'll take off again.
Really?
We're facing some... it's probably one of the most difficult elections in the history of the country. And the stakes are extraordinarily high because if Congress is lost to the other party and there's then again a system of checks and balances, a lame duck president will become lamer. And I believe that they'll try to bring the troops home from the Middle East. And I think a lot of things are going to change, and I don't think that the conspiracy can stop it. So this election is very important. I've told my subscribers, anyone who hasn't done what you think they should have done, and they know what the issues are, any incumbent should be voted out of office.
Okay, fine. Rick, anything else?
It's just amazing to see the absolute control that they're putting on the... I'm just following silver. And it's amazing to see. It's like an anthill. They knock it down in 1 or 2 days. Like, they'll knock it down 50 cents one day and a dollar the next day. And it starts building back slowly and slowly. And then they'll knock it down again in a couple weeks later. It's amazing.
Well, of course, the thing is that they've got a tremendous amount of money, and I'm sure Bob will verify this, that they're in the commodities market, and they are selling short. In other words, they're driving this down with silver that doesn't exist. And if anybody were out there actually buying the silver in the commodities market, these guys would be in real trouble because, you know, the old adage of he who sells what isn't his'n has to give it back or go to prison would hold here, too. In other words, they're selling silver they don't have. They're selling many times silver that doesn't exist. They've sold lots more silver than is available. And if the SEC was doing what it should, they would go after these guys. Instead of that, they allow them to manipulate the market in violation of all of our lives. Would you agree or disagree with that, Bob?
I agree, and I think the key to the silver market is silver delivery, and we're seeing it big time. And it's going to accelerate. You know, there's a lot of people out there with dollars, and they like to put them in something else rather than U.S. Treasuries. And so you can bet your bottom dollar that all of these entities and corporations are buying gold and silver, and they're taking delivery. The physical market is just overwhelming. And I think central banks will be got of gold soon. They've just spent a lot of gold trying to keep the price down just recently. Very unsuccessful. I mean, gold went down $180 and immediately went back up $120. It came off about $20-$25 more and it went right back again. And the same with silver in the same parallel, so to speak. And they're not going to be able to control it. There's going to be an enormous amounts of money made.
All right. So, hope that answers your question, Rick.
Yes, I just don't understand how they can. It seems like, I wonder if anything's actually changing hands when they do that. If it's all just stays in the same vault, maybe, you know, one of their banks, you know, changes names, but it's owned by the same person. I don't see how they can keep it down without putting it out on the actual open market.
But I think they do it to the commodity exchange. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
Well, it's they're using paper.
Right,
and
paper silver is one of the easier to handle.
They're short more than a whole year's production right now.
Wow.
And they have been for a long time, and the CFTC refuses to do anything about it because they've been told not to.
Wow.
And it's just like you mentioned that the SEC does not protect the investor. He protects Wall Street and the United States government. They're both organizations are a bunch of vile people. And, you know, in the International Forecaster, we follow this gold and silver and all these nuances and all this information every day. And in the email copy, we've been publishing for the last month twice a week because there's so much information. And so if you want to stay up to speed on what's going on, you should get a free introductory copy.
And it's well worthwhile, Rick. Do you take it?
I'm going to start.
it's really well worthwhile. I look forward every week to that. I mean, I read that. I read certainly the Joel Skousen's material. I read the WorldNet Daily and certainly News and Views and, of course, Joel Skousen's daily commentary, World Affairs Brief. And I'll tell you, but Bob's is right up there with the best of them. God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
And let's go to Paul calling from Ohio. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Yeah, pretty good, Dr. Stan. I wanted to ask you, Bob, how long has there been a Chase Bank in Moscow?
How long is what?
How long has there been a Chase Manhattan Bank or Chase Bank in Moscow? Now, is Chase now J.P. Morgan Chase?
Yeah, no, it is. But
well, the word is there's been one there about 60 years.
I wouldn't.
That's correct. They have had an open branch office in Moscow all during the Cold War.
And also I'd like to say that I know you guys don't believe it, but do you really believe that things are going to change? I mean, because we're going to take the senators in Congress. It's not going to change. They put in whatever president they want. The voting system's so corrupt. They proved that the last time between them, this dictator we got and the guy that ran against him.
Well, I think, though, Paul, that it would be very interesting to see what happens if we've retired about three-quarters of the congressmen. I think that at least temporarily there could be some disruption in their plans. At least we've got to try.
But I know we got to try, and I'm going to try, Dr. Stan. I'm not giving up, but I wanted to say that the voter fraud with these new voting machines and everything, the fraud is going to be so rampant, you know, I don't see how we're going to get the senators and congressmen out there to make a difference.
Well, we got to do our best. We got to let people know how crooked the voting machines are. We've got to get back to paper ballots. And we got to realize, of course, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. So just keep right on battling, and you stick there with Bob and I, okay?
I will, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to say that these voting machines have got a modem in them and trap doors.
That's right. In fact, I read an article the other day said you got more of a chance of winning, in
lottery.
In lottery than you have, because at least the lottery, somebody's checking, actually they're talking about the casinos in Las Vegas, at least somebody's actually checking on those slot machines to make sure they're honest, but who's checking on the voting machines to make sure they're honest?
I'd just like to say before I go, I want to thank Dr. Stan and Bob Chapman for being such patriots and keeping on fighting this battle. We don't have enough people, and I'm so glad you're there.
Well,
I've done a lot myself out here, but people just don't believe it.
That's all right. Your job is to get them to listen to me. They'll think we're crazy to begin with, and before long, if they hear Bob and I a few times, they'll be afraid we're not. God bless, and thanks so much.
Well, we just hope we live long enough.
Well, I'll tell you what, right now I feel pretty good, and you sound pretty spry for your age. I think that this is going to be a very exciting the next 6 months to a year. I mean, I'm very, very concerned about the possibility of an expansion of this war in the Near East to a real direct confrontation between the United States and Iran, and I just hope and pray that doesn't occur.
Well, I do too, and when I saw those two world leaders on television today, these guys are nothing but sociopaths. Talking about how they needed NATO or UN troops there to protect Israel. Number one, give me a break. And number two, they've already been defeated. Nobody gets that. They've already lost. And they're going to have to find another way to form that block that I spoke of earlier in the program. And switching back to what we were talking about, the voting machines, it is now overwhelming common knowledge about the machinery. And I would say before the election, 60 or 70% of all the states are going to demand a paper trail. And once they've got that, they've got a good chance of stopping the stealing of elections.
I agree with you, Tony, and I think it's up to every one of our listeners to understand that they control these voting machines. They're controlled by a modem. They can be accessed from an outside. They can change the vote, and if you don't have a paper trail, why, of course, you're not going to no longer have representative governments. We've heard stories about how some people would press a button for candidate A and it would record for candidate B. And you can't do that, but they can fix these voting machines just like they can fix the slot machines in Las Vegas. But there is a commission that makes sure they're honest. Who are we going to depend on to make sure the voting machines are honest? George Bush? I mean, the man who promised to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive? The prom man who promised that, he's against amnesty. He just wants everybody to stay in the United States who came in here illegally and become a citizen. The man who's in favor of English only for the language, official language of America, but all of his speeches, major speeches on his website are printed in English and Spanish. And the man who, of course, went into Iraq to save the Iraqi people from the wicked Saddam Hussein, who his father and Bill Clinton had kept in power for all so many years. Well, of course, our telephone number, if we had time for one more call, at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And as the tempo of outsourcing increases, sending our jobs overseas, sending our factories overseas, but even more that, bringing in the temporary workers. And, of course, have you looked at all into this whole concept of expanding the number of temporary workers that are coming in here? Of course, they're not temporary, but they're highly trained people who are coming in here with visas who will undercut the people who are living in the United States or American citizens?
By 50%, H-1B visas. And there's another form as well. And they're bringing hundreds of thousands of them in from the Ukraine and Poland and every place in the world. And all it is slave labor based on our standard of living. And they're just destroying the economy. And there's got to be changes. And if there's not changes, there won't be anything to fight for. There won't be any industry or services left. And the United States will become a second-class society.
But that is exactly what the plan is. And, Bob, the hardest thing for the average person who hasn't listened to our programs or read your material or read the Earth Charter or the red material we have, they can't believe that anybody would be intentionally trying to destroy America. Why would anybody want to destroy America? We're such nice people.
Well,
that's a rhetorical question, of course.
Yeah, of course it is. And you know what they're after. They want to build the cathedral to Satan, if you may. And that's what it's all about. It's good versus evil.
In fact, I was just looking today, I'm trying to track down a picture of the replica of the Temple of Babel, which is built in Strasbourg in Germany. And, of course, it's built exactly the pattern of the Temple of Babel, but the building I saw had an attachment to it, a large triangular building, and on top of it an emblem that looked like an all-seeing eye. Well, I'm sure it was just a coincidence. We'll be back here in just a moment here with Bob Chapman to wrap up the program. And again, Bob, I want to get out your telephone number one more time. Bob?
Yes.
Your telephone.
Toll-free number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. And you just call in and you can get either a hard copy or one by email.
And, of course, your website?
That is theinternationalforecaster.com.
Okay. We'll be back.
Theinternationalforecaster.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got sort of 3 minutes to wrap up the program. I'm going to let you do all the talking, Bob. Go ahead.
Well, that's very nice of you. I did a piece on the Hutchinson's Pence. New version of Alien Amnesty, and it's just a rework of what the Senate had done before. And in fact, in many ways, it's even worse. And I've got some details on that. That's fresh off the sheet out of Washington. That bill will be presented on Tuesday. The Republicans are desperate for some sort, and many others are too. Democrats, particularly those who voted for amnesty, are desperate for something, any kind of a bill that'll take the heat off them on the election. And Dennis Hastert, who's the House Speaker, is making noises like this is okay. Well, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. And unless they pass the minimum wage bill this afternoon or this evening, that's dead as well, which is a tragedy. The House of Representatives get a $3,300 annual raise and wouldn't raise minimum wages from $5.15 to $7.25, which is from $10,000 to $15,000 a year. I mean, try living on $15, never mind $10. And so, you know, everything is going against them. And the politicians, they're out of their mind. They don't know what to do because everything is not going their way.
And I think the Congress has a 25% approval rating. 25%.
That's correct. They got to get them out. Whoever has not been in office, get them in. There'll be exceptions like Ron Paul and Ken Credo and a few others, but not many. Just get them out of there.
And I think, of course, the men who are voting to continue this war are really betraying our fighting men. They say you can't betray your fighting men and not say good things about them. Don't leave them there to be killed. They're not going to win this battle. They're not going to be allowed to win the war. They have not. We never went in to win the war. We went there to really create chaos so we could justify keeping our troops there indefinitely. We should have learned the lesson in Vietnam. We should have learned the lesson in Korea. We should have learned that our leaders have an entirely different worldview and no loyalty to America or to our fighting men, but to this internationalist dream. Bob Chapman, thanks very much for being with us. We look forward to having you with us again next month.
Well, thank you very much. I love being on.
God bless. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
All right. Fine. That was Bob Chapman, and we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is the end of the week, and it's always, every week is fascinating. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I hope any of you out there who either listen on a regular basis, if you possibly can, will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours a day. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or if you'd like to get a free copy of my newsletter, why, give us a call at that same number. And certainly our latest newsletter is a rather unusual one. It's the letter that President Ahmadinejad wrote to President Clinton, pardon me, to President Bush. You want to read it? Have at least some insight into what he says, and It's a very, very provocative letter. Of course, our previous newsletter, I think my May newsletter, was one of the better ones we've done, dealing with the real implications of the immigration crisis and who is behind it and the true significance of the logo of the Trilateral Commission. That's the May newsletter. Now, you can pull our newsletters down up on the Internet at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. But, of course, if you don't get onto the Internet, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and we'll be glad to send you a free copy. Remember, you can listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, 4 hours a day on shortwave, and 9 hours a day on Telstar 5. And if you need to learn, go to our website to find out how to get a Telstar 5 dish and receiver. They're rather inexpensive. And you can listen to us. You can listen to Joyce Riley, Patrick Buspaw, Pastor Chuck Chrismeyer. Then, of course, if you do not yet have some sort of a Berkey water filter, you really need to get the Berkey water set. We've got some great new prices on them. They'll be going into effect on Monday. And if you don't have either the Berkey light or the Big Berkey, or you have fluoride in your water, or you want to be able to purify water in case there's a national emergency, why, we think it's a great product. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 for the Berkey water products. If you haven't got a good supply of vitamins and minerals and selenium and magnesium and fish oils and omega-3 oils and all the other things that you need, why, you want to get our health catalog, but hopefully you'll buy your health products from us. Our prices are comparable, but more than that, you'll be helping Radio Liberty. And right now, of course, one reason my wife and I thought we'd go ahead and carry health products is so we can have a good supply on hand, because we do not know what the future holds. And I'll tell you one thing, and the way you maintain your health is you're going to need these supplements, and you want to have a good supply on hand. The ones we carry are made by the finest company, probably the largest producer of health products in the United States, but they're under our own label, RL. And so if you want to get them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You certainly need a health catalog. You need, of course, to get Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. You need to get The Miracle of Magnesium, book by Dr. Carolyn Dean, and you need to know about magnesium, how important it is, and it influences every aspect of your demeanor, and we are all magnesium deficient. You need to take large amounts of vitamin C supplements. It's essential for your health, and there's no way you can get enough from eating fruits and vegetables. You can get enough from eating fruits and citrus fruits to keep you from getting scurvy, but not for your good health. And so, anyway, if you'd like to get the materials we have, the books by certainly Dr. Blaylock. Incidentally, we have a great new video, DVD actually, by Dr. Russell Blaylock called Nutrition and Behavior. Nutrition and Behavior. We watched this last weekend. I thought it was so great. We immediately ordered them. We have them on hand. Nutrition and Behavior by Dr. Russell Blaylock. And we have so many things. You can find them in the catalog. But this is a new one, Nutrition and Behavior, by Dr. Russell Blaylock. Remember again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you need a health catalog, we'll get it for you. And, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
Good afternoon. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Wherever you're situated on this great, big, beautiful blue globe, floating through the void of Yah's creation, it is, take a deep breath now, Friday. It is the 28th of July, 2006. That's right, July 28th. Today is the day, the big opening all around the country of the movie From Freedom to Fascism. I hope you've made your plans. I hope you and yours are going to go see it. Tell all your friends. Everybody get out there and go to this movie. And for those of you that are continuing to get their information from Fox News, I'm going to ask the question, what's it going to take? What's it going to take to get you folks off of the garbage and propaganda? This is Dave.
And Joyce. And I really, really, Dave, don't think there's anybody in this listening audience that listens to Fox News exclusively.
Well, I
do
would
you
hope
think there is?
I would hope not, absolutely. But we do have a lot of newbies that come on board every single day. We get emails, you know, all the time from folks saying, "Hey, just been listening to your broadcast and having a ball doing it."
Well, I think they're having a ball because they're finding out the truth, and that's the one thing we hear from people over and over again who contact us is, "Thank you for telling the truth." And listeners, we do the very best that we can. We're accused of all kinds of things all the time, but you know what? That will happen. When you are in the forefront, when you take a stand, it'll happen to you. And I just want to give thanks to every Power Hour listener out there who has taken a stand on anything. There are so many of you that I have such incredible respect for because you don't sit back. You don't give up. You continue to have faith. You continue to believe that our Heavenly Father is a whole lot more powerful than Katusha rockets. You know that there is a plan. You know there is a reason, and you know that you were born to be in this time, this place, for a purpose. You must find out what that purpose is. That's your job, not ours. We at the Power Hour, though, continue to tell you what's taking place around the world so that you can make decisions based on accurate information. And if you've been watching at all, if you have been listening at all to radio, you're hearing that Israel is having a huge problem defending itself now against Lebanon. Yes, the war they started, the war they picked. Oh, I know there were two guys that were kidnapped, allegedly. However, as Barry Shamish said, that was a created situation to provoke this. Well, now they've got their provoked war. 125 rockets hit Israel yesterday. And as Barry Shamish, who's been a guest on this program twice this week, says, they are not going to win the war. Now, I don't know. And for those of you saying, well, what have you done? Turn to be anti-Semitic? Of course not. Are you not listening to the program? We are anti anybody who would kill innocent people. Anybody. I don't believe that two alleged kidnapped people deserve the fact there's now thousands of people dead in Lebanon and in Israel. So please listen to the program. Listen with both ears open. Don't judge. Don't think we have a bias. And remember, the bad guys read the Bible too.
If you're listening on the International Shortwave, we thank you for doing so. We broadcast live from 7 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. That's 1200 to 1500 UTC on WINB 13.570 for all 3 hours. Also on WWCR for the first and second hours, 7.465. And the third hour, that frequency changes to 9.985. The evening rebroadcast from 9 until 12 midnight Central Time, that's 0200 to 0500 UTC, is transmitted on WINB's evening frequency, 9.265. Also, the second and third hours of the broadcast from 10 until 12 midnight Central Time are carried on WWCR 3.215. On the Internet at thepowerhour.com and dotted around the country at AM and FM stations. And again, as always, we ask the folks listening on one of those stations to please take note of the local sponsors, and whenever you can, give them your business. And if you don't need their product and service, call them up anyway. Say thank you for being a sponsor on this local radio station and carrying the Power Hour. And we continue to look for reception reports, especially with WINB evening and live broadcasts.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you already know how Miracle 2 products can be used in the garden to control pests.